RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Brands in 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Good to be out of the New Year's lull. And what a news day. I think the thing that's happened just in the last, couple of hours is that Secretary of War Pete Hegseth is moving on Mark Kelly over the whole debacle of illegal orders. So it's not a done deal yet, but they're moving the process to, I guess, deal with his rank, post, his service, and also his pension, etc. And of course, in the wake of what's happened over the weekend, you can imagine the backfire on that. I was all set, but I'll be honest. And if enough people convince me, I'll do it tomorrow, to do the side question today on things in our society that are still all out, gold standard. Because at the top are the Navy SEALs. I can't say that about the U.S. military overall. You got to call them as you see them. And that's part of what Hegseth is trying to restore. You know that. Not that it's bad, it's still the greatest military in the world, but you know what I mean. There have been enough nonsensical things involved with the military under Biden and Obama that it's gone downhill a bit. But the Navy SEALs have not. And the reason for that, one of my takeaways from this weekend is look what they did here with Bin Laden, getting him, killing him. It was in a more remote, relatively, not dismissing the sheer audacity and the ability to carry it out, but this much more difficult. Military compound, the Maduro not have a sense, they better sleep in the safe room. Is it really true that Maduro's dancing set Trump off because it was so nonchalant? Maybe it looked like a pretty good dancer to me. You know, I happen to think as a leader, if you can dance and work that into your thing, look at Trump. People like that. It's a signature. It's something else that adds to it. And with Maduro, they saw it as he was flouting their advisories to him to get the hell out of Dodge. How did Democrats counter this? Well, some of them, and I'll play you some of it. I'm going to play you Marco Rubio, who really is the go-to guy. Boy, think of where we've come from, the battle of Trump and Rubio in 2012. Little Marco, the whole thing, right? Arguing about various sizing. Okay. Now he's the go-to guy. And we're looking at Cuba next. You only fly in the ointment for me. And I got to be honest, it's not a fly in the ointment. I'll tell you the Democrat response. Think affordability. Oh, yes, that's where they're going with affordability. You only fly in the ointment or work undone. This is a good thing. Cuba would be a good thing if they don't have the Venezuelan money and they fall. But the place I'm most concerned about, and I'm not going to tell you stuff just to pump up Trump, because this was a coup here, a masterpiece. But the Mexican cartels, that's where we got to go. I realize Mexico is an, quote, ally. The woman sort of says the right things, the head and all that. I've been there. Juarez, interviewing the mayor. Why so many school desks, Mr. Mayor? For the blast. For the blast. Uh-oh, let's get out of Dodge. This interview's over after a half hour. So, take out their factories. Put the fear of God in them. Could we take out enough of the cartel infrastructure and enough of the cartel members to truly make a dent when it comes to fentanyl? Kash Patel on Fox and Friends today said the amount of fentanyl they seize one way or another this year would kill 175 million Americans. You probably know that might just be enough to be in a lunch basket or something. You know, this can kill thousands of people just with a smidgen. That's how dangerous it is. And where is that the case? It's in Mexico, much more than Venezuela. Mexico. Now, I'm not sure why the president hasn't hit that. There's all kinds of reasons. I trust Ron DeSantis, though. I think he would have. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. The Houlihan and Kamala Harris, among others, tweeting out, Harris, this doesn't make us safer, stronger, or make things more affordable. Notice where Democrats are going. And look, when you got nothing, they have nothing. They haven't had anything for quite a while. Lashing yourself to the affordability thing. If I happen to be an advisor, not giving, information to them just to sink them, I'd say, yeah, stick with that. So the only problem with this, I'm seeing signs, and you're going to see them before the end of January. CNBC this morning, about inflation moving backward. The only thing you don't want to do is let the perception be you're more concerned with stuff like this than you are with making life more affordable, etc. You know what I'm talking about. So Tommy just said inflation. I'm talking about perception with this stuff. That's the only thing, and that's why that's where they're going. Houlihan, out of control, how outrageous, extra constitutional, rogue. How is this making things more affordable in Chester County? You have an entire party dedicated to not making life affordable. Mandani, saying, yes, I telephoned the White House and said it was an outrage, and the operator hung up. No. He claims to have talked to Trump. I can see Trump now. All right, here's the highlight of the weekend, though, that I'll play for you that I think Rubio really, this was, yes, we do have on here. I think we have it on here, Henry, right? Do we have Raddatz on here?
Raddatz? No.
Yeah, I thought I sent that.
I have Brennan and Welker.
No, Raddatz and Vance, too, though, if you can. I thought... I don't think I sent a link, but I think we'll play it in the second segment then. Martha Raddatz with the Venezuelan gangs. Martha, listen to yourself. But here is Rubio, and this is similar to that, with Margaret Brennan, who I think is a lot better than the Skeletor. And Brennan is saying, well, why do you not get the others then? Why not arrest all of his henchmen? Imagine this. We knocked out the lights. There was a cyber attack to do that. We had 150 planes, I believe, involved in one way or another. to bomb, to distract, and to have the military stand down. We go in. We're ready if he gets in the safe room to get him out of there. We come out without anyone being hit seriously, and all of our helicopters intact. And Margaret Brennan wants to know why we didn't lock up more of the henchmen. Here's how it sounded with Rubio.
I'm confused. Are they still wanted by the United States? Why didn't you arrest them if you are taking out the narco-terrorist regime?
You're confused? I don't know why that's confusing to
They're
you.
They're still in power.
I mean,
power.
It's very simple. You're not going to go in and like, wrap up. You're going to go in and suck up five people. They're already complaining about this one operation. Imagine the howls we would have from everybody else if we actually had to go and stay there 4 days to capture four other people. We got the top priority. The number one person on the list was the guy who claimed to be the president of the country that he was not. And he was arrested along with his wife, who was also indicted. And that was a pretty sophisticated and, frankly, complicated operation.
It was.
It is not easy to land helicopters in the middle of the largest military base in the country. The guy lived on a military base. Land within 3 minutes, kick down his door, grab him, put him in handcuffs, read him his rights, put him in a helicopter, and leave the country without losing any American or any American assets. That's not an easy mission. And you're asking me, why didn't we do that in five other places at the same time? I mean, that's absurd. I do think this is one of the most, daring, complicated, sophisticated missions this country has carried out in a very long time. Tremendous credit to the U.S. military personnel who did it. It was unbelievable and tremendous success. And today, an indicted drug trafficker who was not the legitimate president of Venezuela,
right,
who we don't recognize, the Biden administration didn't recognize, 60-something countries don't recognize, the European Union doesn't recognize, and many countries in Latin America don't recognize. He was a indicted drug trafficker. He was arrested. His wife was arrested.
Right,
also
but the
indicted,
others, the others who are also indicted
in
are still
system of courts.
The others who are also indicted are still in place. So that's the point of my questioning there. But you talked about not being the legitimate.
So you wanted
president.
Us to land in five other military bases?
No, I'm asking why you chose that this was the limit of the military operation.
Oh my
but
God!
To
he
your
explained
point
it three
that you
times.
Just made that
well, because
that Maduro was not the legitimate president.
He was the guy who was claiming to be the president.
Right. Well, the opposition.
He was the top target.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. And Brennan's better than Raddatz. Henry, any Raddatz update there? My faux pas. Maybe I didn't send it in.
Is this the J.D. Vance one?
Yeah, J.D. Vance.
Oh, yeah. Give me a second.
Yeah. All right. Well, next segment, we have to build up to that anyhow. It's like a few good men. It's not just Raddatz saying only one about the Venezuelan drug gangs controlling in Aurora, Colorado, an apartment complex. It's when Vance says, Martha, listen to yourself. All right, I'll play it now. What the heck? It's a Monday. This I was thinking about. I jotted it on my big pad as this was happening when I woke up Saturday morning. Raddatz. And Martha Raddatz was effusive in her praise of this early on. I think I know why. You talk about over at ABC, they're going, did you have to say only one? Here's the exchange with J.D. Vance about the Venezuelan drug gangs with Martha Raddatz.
The incidents were limited to a handful of apartment complexes, and the mayor said our dedicated police officers have acted on those concerns. A handful of problems.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem,
oh,
and not
God.
Kamala Harris's open border.
Oh,
Americans
God.
Are so fed up with what's going on, and they have every right to be. And I really find this exchange, Martha, sort of interesting because you seem to be more focused with nitpicking everything that Donald Trump has said rather than acknowledging that apartment complexes in the United States of America are being taken over by violent gangs. I worry so much more about that problem than anything else here. We've got to get American communities in a safe space again. And unfortunately, when you let people in by the millions, most of whom are unvetted, most of whom you don't know who they really are, you're going to have problems like this. Kamala Harris, 94 executive orders that undid Donald Trump's successful border policies. We knew this stuff would happen.
They
bragged about opening the border, and now we have the consequences, and we're living with it. We can do so much better, but frankly, we're not going to do better, Martha, unless Donald Trump calls this stuff out. I'm glad that he did.
All right. Wait a minute. Oh, We didn't have her at the end there, Henry, too. I guess that's short version, where she says, only one, only one. She couldn't let it go. She still had to go with that. All right, so you remember that exchange. That's an all-timer. Do you hear yourself? Yeah, only a handful, only a handful. In America. Now, there's a storyline that says one of the things they're after here, too, is to get people back to Venezuela. If they want to go back, this protection order for Venezuelans who are here under that protection order, that's going to dry up, too. So there's a multitude of reasons associated with this. So I may do something on the Navy SEALs tomorrow. We had one Navy SEAL in studio with me once, and it's just impressive beyond belief. Just the training, what they go through. You know, the NFL, I think, comes close. There's no fooling around. You see how tight it was yesterday. They're going to take anybody they can. Yeah, if he's a criminal, can we get away with another week? Can he kick a field goal? Yeah, but I mean, he's a fugitive. Put him out there, and then we'll deal with it later. We won the Super Bowl. Philadelphia makes a fugitive mayor. It was a trumped-up charge. Okay. We'll get to it. I know Henry and Air. We're going to see the wisdom of Nick Sirianni play out. Not that I'm a Monday morning quarterback. I may have won a bet on this, too. I forget what it was.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
okay.
They didn't win. They didn't cover.
Right. It was shocking. A bit. Anyhow. Okay. So, side question today, though. We've been talking about this. We had fun over New Year's with it. Larry David saying you can't say New Year's after January 7th. I've already reached 13 people today that I wish Happy New Year to. I'm like on a Happy New Year binge just to spite Larry David. And on January 7th, I'm going to say it 100 times.
Ugh.
See a guy walking down the street, Happy New Year. January 8th, 200 times. Yeah. It just bothered me. So we're looking for an unwritten rule, all-time unwritten rule. Used to be the one nobody fought. Don't wear white after Labor Day. It was a whole thing with the wealthy, et cetera. And we have the Larry David one. I think a lot of rules I would put under buffer zones. So in other words, with urinals, you come into a urinal and there's one guy there and there's nobody else, you got to go even farther to the other side. You have to put up a buffer zone of a football field if you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing in a movie thing. You know, don't sit next to the person. Give them a little space to stretch out.
Oh, I think that's crazy if you sit next to someone in a movie.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's a pack theater.
Like, what the hell? What's going on here? Why do you have to make me move in this aisle? There's plenty of other aisles.
Yeah, I don't want to share the armrest with you.
There you go. Buffer zones. All right, Henry, what's yours?
Yeah, how about some taking and some giving here? How about not taking the last piece of food, the last piece of pie, so to speak, without replacing it at least? Or saying, you know, I want to save this for someone else.
That's
that's the right thing to do most times.
Exactly. Yes, at dinner, I think I took the last piece of bread that was great. And I'm not sure if the other person there, I won't say names, may have wanted it. It was unclear, so I should have cleared it up and said, are you going to be eating that?
Yeah, you got to offer it up first. Anyone want this?
It was so good, though. His head was turned. Come on. Give me a break. All right. How about you, Sean? You want to?
Hey, Dom. Yeah. So, yeah, this one right here, I think it's something that's around your style. Definitely as an English teacher and stuff, I was always told to never talk while having gum in your mouth.
Well, sure.
So I just felt like that's one of the biggest things that I have to always follow, to not chew gum while speaking.
All right. That is, yes, that's pretty good.
Good advice for the radio, too.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Don't be eating a steak here while you're doing a show. All right. Hit us with that. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All that I need you to do is push #1210. Of course, we have the open question now. What happens with Venezuela? Who governs it? How does that work? You have Marjorie Taylor Greene and others attacking from the right, if you will, saying this is not America first. That dog's not going to hunt. It is America first. And you heard the exchange, if you remember, with Martha Raddatz, and then also the exchange with Brennan there. Well, why didn't you bring all these people in at once? I am shocked. They were able to penetrate Venezuelan airspace, turn out the lights. He couldn't even get into the safe room. They were had blowtorches ready to get him out of that. And look, it would be impossible for our society, for every institution, to hold themselves to the standards of the Navy SEALs or the NFL. I mean, that would be maniacal. I'd like to do it for the radio show, but, you know, it's pretty crazy to think that. Come on, Henry. Why is the UN Secretary General not seated next to Larry Krasner today? I want them both on, you know. And the NFL, anything down to the granular level. And that they still make mistakes. They still do stuff that you shake your head and say, what the hell are they thinking about here? Whew. For example, Tanner McGee, Henry, really exposed himself. You know what play exposed him? The last play of the game. You got to throw the ball in bounds.
It's got to, yeah, it's got to stay.
I don't care whatever you're thinking. In that moment, I don't think you can start in quarterback in the NFL if you don't throw the ball in bounds on that play.
I agree. And that's that comes with a little seasoning, I think, you know, getting more reps, which he clearly needs. I mean, he wasn't leading receivers on with his throws. He was throwing behind Britton Covey all day.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, though, on a play like that, you know the only shot you have. The ball's got to be in bounds. You cannot let the ball go out of bounds. I just don't understand.
It's not enough game reps. You know, in practice, it's like, oh, I got it. And then you're in the game. You're like, I'll throw it. I'm not saying we should be playing Tanner McKee.
I think there's a football IQ issue there. You know, when Kiwi Ringo runs to the back of the end zone, allegedly to guard, and just lets a guy walk in who's played in 15 different teams and leagues. Pretty shocking.
That was flabbergasting. I was screaming at the TV at that.
Yeah. The guy may be fast, but that's, wow. Yeah. Dick Fangio, man.
The whole secondary, really.
I think candles are being lit. Oh, yeah. If anybody goes down in the secondary, my God.
Say your prayers.
And you know what? Refs see this, and they think the other guy, the other side.
Bennett.
Yeah, he holds every time.
Yeah.
And they're going to call it now more. He just can't help himself. Imagine this guy in a movie theater with a date. I mean, he's handsy beyond belief.
Well, they just double moved him to death because they knew he'd bite every time.
Oh, God. All right. 855-839-1210. Hit us on the side. Your sense, I don't see any major downside here with Venezuela, except it is always a caution. When you go in, you take over. How are you going to get your way to the elections without chaos breaking out? That's the issue. But as far as Venezuelans around the world, they're overjoyed with what has happened here. Yet the media, they're not going to go there. 855-839-1210.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
All right, Dom Show. Welcome in, everyone. Dom Giordano, 855-839-1210. You get on board. If I had to pick the number one phraseology or meme about what happened here in Venezuela over the weekend, it would be playing off Mondani. When he said that out loud at his inaugural, You know, the idea of the frigidity of rugged individualism versus the warmth of collectivism. And if you missed the shows, because I was on New Year's Day when it happened, Friday, we drilled down that the guy who is the second in command to Putin negotiates with Witkoff and Jared Kushner when they go over there. He went on Twitter to say, comrade, he called him comrade, first of all, comrade, collectivism has been tried before. In other words, ixnay, that's not our brand, collectivism. We're not doing that. And yet he knew exactly what he's doing. So here is his tenant director. This is cut 17. This is a woman in charge of where he's already talking about bringing people before tribunals that are landlords. My God. Look, there are bad landlords, but in places like Philadelphia and New York, you can imagine some of the things they have to deal with tenants. Here is his tenant director, though, talking about private property. We're going to transition from that. Here's what she had to say.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good. And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity will require that we think about it differently. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but some POC families who are homeowners as well, are going to have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Can you imagine? I'm standing up in a chair looking toward New York now. I have their binoculars, Emery. I'm bringing them in tomorrow. Yeah, I got them. Ro got them for me. Do you hear that lilt of this Valley Girl commie at the end, the Valley Girl commie, that lilt in her voice? Mm-hmm. All this jump, we're going to have a different relationship to private property. Could there be anything more insulting, more un-American, more communistic? They're saying it. And the mob, is the mob going to go, that's right. I want to come over and put my feet up. I want to watch a big screen TV. Henry Machette's got one. Let's break in. I like what Dom's wife is cooking tonight. Let's go over there and watch TV. Yeah, but you know what? You shouldn't be playing football here, tearing up my lawn. No, I come out. You're not playing soccer on my lawn. Yeah, but it's Ronaldo. Just may have made that up. I don't care.
That's a player.
I don't care. If it's Pelé, yeah, Pelé can play soccer on my lawn. The rest of this stuff, you're not playing soccer. Yeah, but soccer's going to be our national sport. Your property rights do not qualify on this. We want to play soccer here. This is what you're going to see. It's mayhem already. And that woman's voice sounds like kindergarten with a Valley Girl lilt to it at the same time. Let's hear it one more time. This is the tenant director.
I think the reality is that for centuries, we've really treated property as an individualized good and not a collective good. And we are going to transitioning to treating it as a collective good and towards a model of shared equity will require that we think about it differently. And it will mean that families, especially white families, but
especially
some POC families who are homeowners as well, are going to have a different relationship to property than the one that we currently have.
Okay. It's going to be bad in New York. You wanted it. But for the rest of the country, this is going to be difficult for the midterms with them. Lance in South Philly, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Lance, Happy New Year.
Same to you, Dom. Same to you. If you want to talk about landlords and tenants, I could talk forever. But I digress. The unwritten rule, because we live in Philadelphia, is if I bust my hump digging out a spot in the snow, you don't park there.
That's exactly right. I love the way that you put it. You know what, though, Lance? We're losing South Philly. About 5 years ago, I had a guy call me from South Philly, like 12th and McKean, say, no, you don't. I was ready to just ditch the show and drive right down there. Can you imagine South Philly saying that?
He must be a transplant. That's the unwritten rule.
Absolutely. Thank you. Playing to the judge, Henry. That's a finalist right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Coming up, the great John Yoo is with us. All right. Now, you may remember him back to the Bush years, Gitmo and all that. He is a big-time attorney called upon by everybody, calling in early, too. He believes what was done over the weekend was constitutional. He's going to lay that out, and we'll talk with him ongoing about that and a couple of other things. John Yoo, nobody better to bring on today, with Dom on Talk Radio 1210.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
One briefcase. One moment. Could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
All right, it is Dom time. Yes, what does he have to say about the Eagles' decision yesterday? Get Sammy Alito on the phone. I know he would strike Nick Sirianni, say ipso facto, he's no longer Eagles' head football coach. John Yoo, Emmanuel Heller, professor of law, distinguished visiting scholar, School of Civic Leadership, senior research fellow, Civitas Institute at the University of Texas at Austin, also a non-resident senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. And despite all that, I hear he's a scratch golfer.
Really?
Let's go. Hey, it's talk radio. You can't hold me to that. I don't even know if he ever hit a golf ball. Hey, John, welcome back to town. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, great to be back. And all those rumors about golf are completely untrue. I hate the game. I don't want that much frustration in my life. I already got other things to deal with. Like
I'm telling
the
you
Eagles.
This, if we got you to hit one ball in the sweet spot, that's what brings us all back, John. After that, you just can't get enough of it. All right, so, John, how do you rule on the matter of Nick Sirianni taking away potentially another home game for the long-suffering Philadelphia fans during the playoffs by doing what he did yesterday? What did you think?
I don't understand it. I think if you have a chance to have two home playoff games, you take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when they barely lost with the second string team.
Yeah.
They could have just put in the first team in the first half. They've done that before, and then let them rest in the second half. I don't get it. But I do think that he's right that having a well-rested team with 2 weeks off might be more important. That's certainly what they've done in the past. And, gosh, I don't know. I'm out here in San Francisco right now, and I got to tell you, the fans out here are not looking forward for their 49ers to play our Eagles in Philadelphia, hopefully in the middle of a snowstorm.
they're not a team, though, that can't play under relatively tough conditions. But you're right. Philadelphia is beyond tough conditions. So, yeah, we get a Sam Darnold here. I can just see his face right now. He's got a face. Hey, why did you not draft that Sam Darnold guy? Look at the speed up. I'm looking at his face. He's out. He's been sent. It's worse. You can tell. He's going to choke. So, all right. So,
well, remember the last time the Niners came to Philly for a playoff game?
Oh, yeah.
They, They ran out of quarterbacks, right?
Was the 39-year-old quarterback of the Commanders yesterday. He came in and got concussed.
Right.
I mean, my God. All right. So, John, this action in Venezuela, I would say it's pro forma what a lot of Democrats are doing to complain about it. But you are the guy on Fox and all over the place, and you wrote a great piece at National Review, listeners can look at, in which you talk about it being constitutional, but you also talk about tons of precedent on doing something like this.
Look, if people want to accuse President Trump of violating the Constitution, then first up, they got to be consistent. And I don't think many of these critics have been. Were they around to say that President Obama, doing the exact same thing, taking out Muammar Gaddafi and overthrowing the regime in Libya without any congressional permission, were they there to say that was unconstitutional? Or were they there when Bill Clinton in 2000 did the same thing to Slobodan Milosevic and overthrow him as the leader of Serbia? Right. So it's got to be that if you're going to claim it's unconstitutional, you've taken that position without regard to which party's controlling the White House. And I'm sorry, I don't remember a lot of these Democratic senators attacking President Trump right now, raising these exact same concerns when Democrats were in office. And I'll contrast that with, say, Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader for the Republicans, who, if I remember, supported President Obama in those examples in the past and said that he was willing to support the president and wasn't claiming that it was unconstitutional.
Yeah.
But getting beyond that.
Go ahead, John. Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, and President Obama took out that radical imam in Yemen who was an American citizen, and I supported him without even batting an eye. How else were we going to deal with him?
Exactly. And this is the major point I tried to make in the piece you just kindly mentioned, is that people are accustomed to thinking, oh, Congress passes the laws and the president carries that out. That's true when it comes to regulating the air or the water or workplaces. That's true when it's domestic policy. When it's threats to national security, I think the Constitution has the opposite approach. You need to have someone to act quickly and decisively in response to threats to our national security. That's why we have a president, to act first. And Congress has plenty of checks. If they want to cut off funds, they even want to impeach a president, they can. But what our founders didn't want was our country to be paralyzed by a Congress that can't make up its mind, that's indecisive when foreign threats are looming. And so presidents, they may make mistakes, but our Constitution wants our country to have the ability to act first. And Congress has plenty of time and tools to react. Or, look, they could even build a military, which could not achieve what our military can achieve if they wanted to restrain presidents. Instead, Congress has built and paid for all of the amazing capabilities that President Trump put on display when he ordered the snatch and grab operation. And this is the lesson of history. This is not just the last 10 years or 20 years. Presidents from Thomas Jefferson on. Thomas Jefferson sent the Navy after the Barbary Pirates and tried to overthrow them without congressional permission. And ever since then, presidents have done this and Congresses have acquiesced and even cooperated.
And John, I think you said it, and I'm in that camp too. The remedy then is impeachment. They don't like that because Trump would get enough support where they couldn't kick him out of office. But that's what the framers wanted, the idea of impeaching. If the president acted rashly or illegally, that's what you do.
I think that's exactly right. And look, Democrats tried that twice in President Trump's first term, and they couldn't get enough votes to convict. But because the founders did not want our presidents, when they have to protect our country, to be paralyzed. They'd rather presidents act immediately, and sometimes they'll be right, sometimes they'll be wrong. But that's better than having 535 secretaries of state trying to deliberate and vote on what to do. And then put the other point, this was all made possible because of secrecy, because of preparation and secrecy. And I'm afraid President Trump was right when he said in his press conference, if we had notified and gotten Congress to participate, it would have leaked. And then the advantage of surprise would have been lost. And I don't think you could carry out that kind of operation, just like you could not probably have carried out the bombing of the Iranian nuclear facilities if you let Congress in too early. That, unfortunately, is just the nature of the challenges that our country faces. I don't think the founders would have created a constitution that couldn't work to face these kinds of opponents and these kinds of threats.
Any legal perspective, John, on running Venezuela? I don't think Trump means that. We're leaving in place some people and we're giving them a shot that we're in power and they're not going to do what Maduro was doing. But is there any legal question there? I assume there would be at a certain point.
Yeah, that's a really tough legal question and a tough political question, because if we really are going to get more deeply involved with running Venezuela, then Congress does need to get involved, because mm-hmm. that's going to require money. It's going to require people. You're going to have to send people down there. You're going to have to send money down there. There'll be people who say we're not allowed to under the law. Although I don't think this is as severe as Iraq, but in Iraq, the United States did exactly the same thing. I was at the Justice Department back then working on this issue, and I thought the law allows the United States to take oil revenue from Iraq and use it to help rebuild the country. And President Trump knows, he didn't say, you know, we're taking the oil and keeping it. He said, we're going to take the oil to rebuild Venezuela. And I think that shows more clearly than anything that this is not some kind of war of aggression or an invasion. This is the United States putting into power the democratically elected government of Venezuela and throwing out these people who are basically in cahoots with drug cartels and drug traffickers mm-hmm. and weapons traffickers, kicking them out, and then putting them in position to run their own country again as they want to.
John, a thornier issue. I'm not sure if we would agree or not, or you have any legal perspective. Every expert I talk with, in my own sense of it, after all that body of evidence, fentanyl is Mexico, the drug cartels. And Ron DeSantis and others have talked about droning their drug factories and the like, which apparently would be relatively easy to do. We have a back and forth relationship with Mexico. Maybe that's holding it up. What about the legality of that? Because that's where I would point to a much more serious threat than the Venezuelan drug dealers in America.
Yeah, I think that's a very hard legal question, because I think we are at war with Venezuela. And so all the measures we've taken are easily fall within the laws of war. I don't know whether the United States wants to be at war with Mexico, but it could be solved if Mexico's government invites us to help and says that we're working cooperatively.
Yeah, but I would interrupt, John. Yeah. I interviewed the mayor of Juarez. We're in a place, mm-hmm. his family couldn't be with him. This is a few years back. And I asked him why all these school deaths and all. And he said, for the blast. He was afraid of being blown up as he talked with me. They're scared to death of the cartels. So if it came out that we gave them permission to help them, they don't want that. That's kind of the dilemma.
But they could see, if the government of Mexico, mm-hmm. like the president of Mexico, invited us to come right. in and help them, which I think we have been trying to do for years,
yeah.
actually, is try to give them intelligence and training to go after these cartels. But if they actually invite us to come in and go after those fentanyl labs, go after the drug cartels, then I don't think it's a legal problem. I think we would be allowed to do it. That doesn't mean we necessarily should, or it wouldn't be hard. But as long as the government gave us permission, that would be okay. That's different than Venezuela, where I think we've been at war with Venezuela mm-hmm. for several months now. You know, we've been mm-hmm. destroying their ships, killing their operatives, you know, putting in an air embargo, we're putting up mm-hmm. a blockade. Those are all typical right. measures you take against a country that you're at war.
Parting question, John, you with us here, and we're always honored to have him, particularly in a day like this. John, the Maduro case and his wife, but let's stick to Maduro. How strong of a case is it in your judgment at this point?
I think Maduro is probably going to spend the rest of his life in an American prison, or maybe someday the democracy returns to Venezuela and we can remand him to a Venezuelan prison. But I don't think he has much chance. He's going to get every due process right to put on a defense and to question the government and its evidence. And look, he's going to get way more rights, way more fairness than he's ever given any Venezuelan in his own country as president of that country. And he's going to try to raise all these defenses, the same ones Manuel Noriega did when we did the same thing to him in Panama in 1989. He's going to say, I'm the head of state. I can't be tried. He's going to say, I should just be a POW in a war. I shouldn't be a criminal defendant. The courts back then heard all the same claims Maduro is going to make and rejected all of them. And Noriega spent the rest of his life in jail, too.
John, thank you so much. Again, open invitation. You get to town. We have to do something special here. And you are our mole on the west coast of the San Francisco as they're coming to town.
Like I said, I don't want golf. But if you can get me to walk around Lincoln Financial Field with a cheesesteak in one hand and a water ice in the other hand, I'm there.
All right. We will do it. Thank you, John. All right. That's constitutional, too. All right. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. Hit us with that all-time unwritten rule or law coming off this nonsense of January 7th. You can't say Happy New Year after that with Larry David. Yeah, Maduro and wife pleading not guilty. Of course, we have that going on. 855-839-12. I haven't seen who the attorneys are. Coming up, John, you said a lot of interesting things there. And Democrats are pretty much half-hearted. The political argument they're making is Trump is not paying attention to you and life is not affordable. And if I were counseling them, that's exactly the argument they ought to be making. For the reason, they got nothing else. And this at least worked a little bit for them. And the media is going to help them with that. Yeah, Trump just wants that oil. How does that help you? That's all that it's about. Oligarchs, or oligarchs, as Bernie Sanders says. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
All right, I didn't watch The Whole View today. Come on, Al. Take one for the team. That'd be like getting beaned 15 times in a game. But Anna Navarro, even Roe, blind, just can't take it when Anna Navarro comes on, talked about getting Maduro. Now, I don't know what Sonny Hostin said, but here's what Anna Navarro said on The View.
Well, so I do think, go ahead.
Look, I don't think this is at all about the Venezuelan people. Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about the Venezuelan people. Mm-hmm. If he did, he wouldn't be taking away temporary protective status from 600,000. He wouldn't be arresting the Venezuelans that are seeking asylum here. He wouldn't be maligning the entire community and sending hundreds of Venezuelans to a hellhole prison in El Salvador. I don't think Donald Trump gives a damn about drugs. If he did, he would not have pardoned the former president of Honduras, who was serving 45 years in federal prison for having brought 400 tons of cocaine into the United States. Mm-hmm. I think this is a lot about Donald Trump's ego. I think he thought it was going to be easier to get rid of Maduro. I don't know that he thought it was going to take 4.5 months and 1/4 of the Navy arsenal and a cost of over $1 billion to do this. I don't think this is regime change because the regime is still there. He got rid of the head. He got rid of the titular head, which is Maduro. And it's the biggest trophy there is.
But the vice president is still there.
And the vice,
the vice president is now president.
Well, I refuse to call her either because, you see, Maduro, so the U.S. government under Biden and under Trump have said they don't recognize Maduro as the legitimate president of the United States because he stole the elections.
Right.
And so if we don't recognize him as president, how in the hell can then we turn around and recognize his vice president as vice president and now interim president?
Do you think
and
it's about your the question, oil?
I think it's about the oil. Your question, who voted for this? The people in South Florida. The Venezuelan community, the Cuban-American community, the Nicaraguan-American community voted for this. And for us, this is a very, very happy day when we see a dictator who has been part of oppressing and abusing the Venezuelan people for 25 years. When we see him in handcuffs and held to some sort of accountability, it brought me into tears. It brought me great joy. And, you know, I live in South Florida.
But are you okay with the way that it was done?
But you can, I think both things can be true.
Okay.
I think you can criticize and ask questions and have concerns about the way it was done and what this means in the future.
Right.
And I think you can still celebrate that this murderous, corrupt, sadistic son of a is out of Venezuela. Yeah. Yeah. Because he has...
Okay. All right. So long preamble going after Trump. And then finally, you know, and what I see in there, even Anna Navarro, after listening to all this stuff with Trump, a question that any one of them could have asked, they wouldn't ask. Well, you know, Biden just put $25 million on his head. Maduro laughed at it. He never did anything to get rid of him. Trump delivers. Isn't that really the tagline of the Trump things? Whatever you think on this, that, or the other, Trump delivers on, call it policy, or in this case, doing something audaciously that others would not do. Although, John Yoo was just on and talked about some of the stuff that Obama did. Let's go to Robert in Ben Salem on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert. Afternoon. Yo, Robert.
Good to talk to you guys today.
Hi, Robert.
Sorry.
That's okay. You want to be on hold and wait till after the guest?
No, that's okay. I'll take care of business. I'm getting used to standing on one leg. okay. Well, first of all, I got to say, this is the most enjoyable presidency I've had in a long time. And he's doing things, and just by doing things, it's amazing how, you know how they used to tell you that the way to deal with a bully is to confront him, and you'll see what a coward he is.
Right.
And that's what Trump is doing. He's doing everything they said you can't do, and he's saying do something about it. And all it's doing is exposing the left in a major, major way. And I think that's going to be a midterm consideration as well.
Exactly. You know, the genius of this on a smaller scale, Frank Rizzo would say, fix that pothole. And they'd say, but it's not on the list now. I said, fix that pothole now. Do it. When people see something is getting done, there's energy. I don't want to hear what the excuse is. Do it. And Trump delivers on this stuff. They're willing to forget about any other flaws.
No, I understand that. And I think that he's dealing with it in a really straightforward way. The beautiful thing about it is, Dom, is that all they can do is reveal themselves when they complain about it. And the voters see that. And that's the point. I think that just by doing the things that need to be done and challenging people to challenge you on it, it hurts them politically to do so. That you'll notice Waltz dropped out for 2026, right?
Yeah. You look, such a busy day. We didn't even get to that. Mark Kelly, doesn't even lead the news. Robert, what can happen more in the next 2 hours? My God.
I know. And all he does is just, he went and did it and looked at the dominoes falling. And
exactly.
They never would have fallen had he not.
What's
but
the
my
answer to the, yeah.
Okay, my answer to the side question is I'm going to go with kind of humorous here, Dom, okay? It's called the personal buffer rule law. For instance, if you go in to a men's room and you see four urinals and you see somebody that's standing at urinal number two, what urinal are you going to go to, Dom?
The one on the other side of the building. I've already said that.
Number four. Exactly. You've got to keep that one.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you stand in there and there's eight urinals and you go to one and then somebody comes right up next to you to use that one, that's kind of a red flag, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I love the urinals with the urinal screen, a giant screen I want between there. Giant, head to toe from the thing up.
I was talking to Sean that people that live by that rule would have had a hard time back in our day when they just had that big trough.
Oh, God.
Where do you go then?
Yeah, exactly.
But
oh, God.
I'm just going with funny. The personal buffer space in the men's room, and I'll leave it at that. And you guys have a great day, Doc.
All right. Thank you very much. Coming up, the great Corey DeAngelis, the apostle of school choice. He's got something today, a lot of stuff, but the Chicago Public School Teachers, biggest thug union in the country. What are they about? Reading, writing? No. Instantly, massive support for Maduro. How dare Trump take him out? The teachers union. We'll talk with Corey next. Scott Presler at 2 today on Talk Radio 1210.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.